Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Christ the Creator. Christ the Creator. From the Gustavo Catechism. Gustavo Catechism. How long did it take for God to create the whole universe? Yes. From the Gustavo Catechism. How long it take for Gustavo to create this? Not to create, to color this. When its mama left? July? June. Today is August. 3 months. 3 months. Look, who are my partakers? Who would create this in 1 week? Do you think it would? Yeah? Maybe. This, with a lot of effort, you can do. God created everything in 7 days and one it's rest. You know, there is a co-worker that always complained that I take coffee breaks sometimes at work. If God created everything 6 days and rest one, and if he considers 7 days work, what does that mean? Resting is also part of the work. Make sense? Obviously, I don't take too much coffee break. It's coffee break. It's just a break. Necessary for the rest of the good work. Just like God did. 6 days he works, 1 day he rests. Christ the Creator. Do you remember what's the last sermon title? Christ the Redeemer. So, what is Paul doing here? Paul is doing to us what every Christian needs. What every Christian needs. To know the right understanding of who Jesus is. If I ask you, you're a Christian, I ask you, who is Jesus? I am expecting from you, and you're expecting from me, the right answer. Not the right answer here, like on a test, but the right answer indeed, on the mouth and also in the heart. The world, if you ask who is Jesus, they're going to give you the wrong answer. In the church, we are expecting you and I to give the right answer. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Lord. So on and so forth. So that's why here Paul is talking about Christ, the Redeemer. Christ, the Creator. Christ, the Lord of the church. Christ, the Redeemer, not only of the church, but of the whole universe. This is all this section is all about, in order that you and I understand who Christ is indeed. So now, you're going to see that the focus here, the background is Genesis. But the focus is here, it's different from Genesis. Genesis, they talk about creation. Here we're going to see Paul talks about the Creator. Genesis, you look, description of the creation. Here Paul gives you description of the Creator, telling about his work. So let us read together verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Last verse, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. I want you to focus in verse 16. It says this: all things were created by Him and for Him. And verse 17 says that He holds all things together. Important to understand this, because some people, they believe that God created the world and then God did this. And He disappears. And now the world, it's on its own. I created rules and the rules gonna do it. I create humans and humans gonna do it. Everything is in place, I can leave. Just like a watch. You make the watch and you press start and then you leave. Is that what Paul is teaching here? If Jesus holds things together, if He creates and it's for Him, He is present. He rules. He is sovereign. But Gustavo, the world is going from bad to worst. From worst to big worst. From big worst to unacceptable. From unacceptable to unbelievable. Is Christ still reigning? Yes. Yes, every bad from worse, worse from terrible, terrible from unacceptable, unacceptable from unbelievable, is still all accountable to God. Everything is still accountable to God. Everything still should be the way the Creator meant to be. That's what Paul is teaching us here. And now I want you to make you go through each verse with the key word statement. Statement. Easy key word. Paul makes four statements here. And the very first statement he makes, it is verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. First statement, Christ is the image of the invisible God. You remember what's the problem in Colossians that I keep telling you every sermon is mysticism. It's the people who the Bible is not enough. I still need to see things. I need to feel things. I need to hear things. I need to have a feeling. I need to have a special revelation. I need to see an angel. That's the problem Paul is facing here. So what is Paul's argument to the church in Colossians? Jesus is the image of God. You should not try to find God in mysticism. You should see God where? In Jesus Christ. And where you see Jesus Christ? In Scriptures. So Paul brings them together. You want to see God? Go to the Bible. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. And now, Trisha is going to help me. There is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It's very similar to Colossians 1, 15 to 17. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Very similar to what we just read in Colossians. But these give us a little bit of more information that we can understand. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. Now, he speaks through his Son, Jesus Christ. What is the author of Hebrews teaching us? He's teaching us something very basic. You speak English and Dutch. I speak English, broken English, broken Spanish, broken Portuguese. God speaks Jesus. That's the language of God. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. In the Greek, there is no preposition. He literally is meaning this. God spoke through the prophets, but now God speaks Jesus. If you see Jesus, you see God. And here, Paul says in Colossians, Jesus is the image of God, saying that Jesus is God. But there in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. And that's very beautiful because Moses asked to see God's glory, to see God's face, and it was denied to him. Now Hebrews tells me and tells you, if you look at Jesus, you see God's glory. You see God's face. If you look at Jesus, you are seeing God. So that's the very, very first statement Paul is making here. And what is my application as a pastor to the church? Do not try to find Jesus elsewhere. Go to the Bible. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The Gospel talks about his life and his work. What's his work? Dying on the cross and raising from the third day. And the letters of the New Testament explain the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So go see and go look at Jesus in Scriptures. Second statement, still in verse 15, Christ is the firstborn over all creation. Second statement, he is the firstborn over all creation. And here we have a little bit of linguistic trouble. Linguistic trouble. Because as soon as you hear the word firstborn, you think about birth. But let me illustrate this to you and we're going to understand everything. Raise your hand if you are Canadian. Okay. Put hands down. Raise your hand if you were born in Canada. Okay. Now, raise your hand if you're Canadian. You see that those two things are not attached? So when you read firstborn here, does that mean about birth? No, it's not attached. Let us understand what does it mean, because it means what I just told you, status. You are Canadian, that's your status. I am Brazilian, that's my status. So let us see the status here. It's Psalm 89, verse 27. I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. Rule, reign, rights. That's what Paul is teaching here. He's not talking about birth. Because guess what? Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was never created. He is the creator. He creates everything and he was never created by anything because he is self-existent, self-sufficient. He is God. So he's talking here about Jesus is the King. And that teaches us a few important things. First thing, creation is his. Second thing, he has the right to rule. Again, remember, the world is going from bad to worst. Jesus still has the right to rule. Jesus is still ruling. And finally, creation is his inheritance. One, he created things, therefore it's his. Secondly, he paid the price on the cross, therefore it's his. He is the firstborn over all creation. That's what the Bible is teaching here. So my first application for us, do not fall into heresies. There are some heresies that they believe that Jesus is like this. God, Jesus somewhere here, and us. And that's not true. Jesus is God. He's the top. He's the best. First thing you need to understand. And second thing, which is not here intellectually, which is not here in the apologetics, heresy or not heresy, which is the more practical and pastoral one. Paul here is meaning something and teaching us something very, very precious. I have seen some Christians, and in the beginning I was that Christian, that God, I want things to change and I'm praying for change in Jesus' name. God, I want this and I am your son, so you gotta give me. God, you gave me authority, so I say to this and this must happen. And all of that. I am God's son, yes or yes. I am co-heir with Christ, yes or yes. I have a whole heaven that I'm part of it, yes or yes. Did he share with me his authority, yes or yes? Am I the firstborn over all creation? Am I the king? So sometimes in Christianity, we understand that we are co-heirs, that we have authority, that we are blessed, but we forgot that we are not the firstborn. The special one is Jesus Christ. The one who calls things to change is Jesus Christ. The one who does the things is Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is teaching here. Colossians, you have a great inheritance. Definitely. Just do not misunderstand who you are. He is appointed the king. He is the exalted of the earth. He is the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn, the one with the rights in the church. That's second statement here. So the first statement, he is the image of God. He is God. Second statement, he rules over creation and the things created. And the third statement, it's found in verse 16. It's a bit long. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. This is an interesting one. God does like governance. God does like systems. And for me as a Brazilian, that's a bit tough because we have a hard time with our government back in our country. It's a subject we don't like. But God is showing us that he is a God of authorities, rule, system, and governance. Not socialism, not communism, not capitalism, not what it's here, it's parliament. Democracy. Oh yeah, democracy. Democracy. None of this. He is a God of system. And that teaches us something. Obedience is praised. Rebellion is unacceptable. Obedience is praised. Rebellion is unacceptable. You see that governance, it's a theme that it's not an earthly thing. On heavens, in the invisible, there is also hierarchy, there is also authority, there is also system, there is also governance. There is responsibility and accountability, even in the heavenly realm, even in the invisible world, so much more here. So here, the Bible is saying, obedience is praised, rebellious is unacceptable. Thankfully, we are in a country that if you want changes, you can vote. If you want changes, you can say. If you want changes, you can maybe do some strike. Can you be rebellious? No. God is a God of ranks, authority, governance. He is. Same way He takes it serious in the heavenly realm, He also takes it serious here. So obedience is praise, rebellion is unacceptable. Christians are good citizens. Christians are the one who must bless the place they are, whether in communist China, whether in democracy Canada, whether in whatever they call in Brazil that really, really is just a label, the thing there, it's very crazy. We are the best citizens. We have all the rights, we do, but we are not rebellious. Can you say amen, church? Amen, amen. Two applications for us, so we go to the next statement. You see here that Paul talks about hierarchy, authorities in the invisible world, aka angels, demons, so on and so forth. But he doesn't explain it. He doesn't describe it. He just acknowledges and mentions it. And if you see in the Bible, that's the pattern. They acknowledge angels, they acknowledge demons, they acknowledge the spiritual, but they not describe or try to explain it. What is happening in Colossians? Mysticism. People claim they see things. People try to explain what they see. When you look at the Bible, Bible acknowledges things, but it doesn't explain things. Therefore, Paul is telling the Colossians, that's not the biblical pattern. And therefore, I tell the church, watch out with those who are trying to explain what the Bible doesn't explain. Watch out with those who have more to say about some subject in the Bible than what the Bible is saying itself. That's the word of caution. And the third application, if we are to be obedient and good citizens, we also need to govern decently. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, you surely have a place of leadership, either at home, either in community, either at work, and then we govern accordingly. Remember the dictator example? What is the dictator? He governs things according to his mood. I'm happy, the people gonna be blessed. I am mad, the people is gonna suffer. Your wage is X amount today. Your wage tomorrow is X amount minus Y. The next day, no wage. Consider your job, I don't know, a favor to me. Why? There is no rule. Why? There is no ranks, authorities, governance, and accountability. There is only the mood of the one ruling. But God does like what? Ranks, authority, system, and governance. In the spiritual realm, and also in the natural realm. That's the third statement. Fourth statement, let us leave government subject because things get boring when we talk about government, right? Let's come back to the good things. Last statement, verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus holds all things together. It's the final statement. You probably saw things that were created, either good, bad, either super nice creation or regular creation. Most of them do not endure. Most of them fades within 20 to 50 years. Some with 100 years. More than that, very, very few of them. Jesus created the universe, and the universe is still here. Sin came to the world. We, many, many times, we do not cooperate with the world, and still he holds things all together. No matter how bad it is, he still holds all things together. And the illustration that Paul is using here, the idea he's using here, is the idea of the building. Can you see the foundation of this building? No, you can't. Can you see the building? Yes, you can. Does that mean there is no foundation just because you can't see? No, there is not. Doesn't mean it. There is a foundation. Paul is saying the same. Jesus holds all the universe together. In other words, Jesus is the foundation of the universe. And just because you can't see him, that doesn't mean he's not there. Just as I can't see the foundation of the building, but I know it's there because the building is sustained, Paul is saying, Jesus sustains the whole universe. Therefore, I know he is there. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus came before all things because he's the foundation. Is the very first thing that comes in the building. And his building, he's sustained because he's solid, he's strong, and he can hold all things together. Again, a very pastoral application. What should you do with that piece of information? You should come close to Jesus because he holds all things together. Gustavo, my life is a mess. He holds all things together. The world is also going from bad to worse. He holds it together. Therefore, he can hold your life together. And see the word together. He doesn't hold like this. Look, like a waiter. Have you seen waiter come with a lot of glass and plates? No, he holds it together. Look, all together, secure. It's okay. It's safe in his hand. Therefore, stay close to Jesus because he holds your life, your family together when he is in it, when he is the foundation of it, when he is the solid place where you build your life, your family, and everything in it. Because Jesus holds things together. For conclusion, after these four statements, I'm going to take you now out of Colossians. And you're going to learn two things today. One, very, very important. The other, nothing important. I speak a little bit of Hebrew. That's the only not important thing. So, oh no, can we read this? Oh yes, we can. Can we? Yeah, okay. Bereshit, bara, Elohim, shamayim, et haaretz. Stay with me. Very important. Bereshit, bara, Elohim, shamayim, et haaretz. How many fingers you see in my hand? How many words you see there? Seven. Can you see? I didn't say seven. I say only six. Okay? Look at this translation to English. In the beginning, created God. God created. Untranslated particle. Can you see the side note there? Untranslated particle. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those two letters were never translated. Not in English, not in Portuguese, not in any language. Even the Hebrew. There is no translation for that word. Two letters. Do you know what's that letter? Aleph and Tav. Aleph and Tav, which is A and Zet. The first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet. Untranslatable. Quote, it doesn't make sense being there, right in the middle of there, in the very, very chapter of Genesis, verse 1. Now let's go to Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. I am the... What's Alpha? The first letter of the Greek. I am the... What's the Omega? I am the Aleph and I am the Tav. The first and the last. The beginning, what is the meaning of Genesis? Beginning, the book of the beginnings. And I'm the end. Now you see the Trinity in creation, which you could never see if your pastor didn't know Hebrew. God created, the Spirit of God was hovering on the waters, on the abysses, and the Aleph and Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, and the first and the last was where? And the first one. Guess why? He is the Creator. Why is he at the end? He holds all things together. He were before all things, but all things are also for him. Isn't the Bible beautiful? Can you believe that Moses wrote that 1,500 years before John wrote this particular chapter in the book of Revelation? Can you believe that? Unbelievable. And it holds all things together. If you take a comma from the Bible, things will not going to be holding together, because it's so perfect, so tidied up, because that's what the God who creates the whole universe and sustains does. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you because we truly believe that you are our creators, and therefore we want to live unto your glory and to share it and to proclaim it. Help us to do so, and help us to be amazed with who you are and to have the right understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.